maybe we could spend some quality time with Till and work up some plans.
Yeah, I have some questions to the architecture and have not attended the previous meeting, so probably you could
bring you up to date quickly.
So I have taken a look at this Straumann architecture, candidate 03, and I have also taken a look at the bioportal architecture, these four layers. And to me it's not entirely clear how these would relate or how much of the bioportal architecture will find its way into the new architecture. Will this be a complete redesign, or will some parts of bioportal be reduced?
Yeah, that's been a an ongoing issue. Bioportal does have a it was a designed and developed for a specific, very specific purpose, and was not intended to have plug-in modules. You know, where, for example, you could introduce new new languages like, say, Common Logic. So it really does not have that kind of flexibility. It wasn't their intention to do that. They didn't have any such design goal.
I think that was original when Benjamin was there, and then when Ray Ferguson took over, he actually made a very good effort into accepting other programming efforts. Till, do you know Ray?
No.
Okay, Ray did Protégé. Actually.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
And Protégé is one of the best sort of collaborative development effort in our field, because one, it has been around for a long time, more than 20 years, and secondly, it has huge numbers of plugins.
Yeah, I know.
And Ray designed the original architecture, but then he left Stanford and went to Yahoo. And when they started the NCBO project, the BioPortal project, they brought in some architect from sort of a corporate setting. Most of the original people were like corporate heavy duty large system designers, like Benjamin Dye was from Disney before, and they had architects from like Bank of America and so on. And I think those people did not come from the open source community, but came from like corporate environments. So as Ken said, the design did not cater very well to external inputs and contributions of codes. Then Benjamin left and Ray Ferguson returned. And I think they made a special effort in opening up and getting other people to contribute. They changed the license. Although originally it was a Mozilla license, they changed also to the same license as the OOR. Actually, they also contributed to the discussion that was between NCBO, Ontolog, OOR, Creative Commons, and so on. And the general consensus was we wanted to make it as easy for people to contribute as possible, so we took the BSD, simplified BSD license. So they changed to a simplified BSD license. They sort of actively wanted people to contribute in terms of tabs. So they are now building around a TAP architecture. And of course, I mean, even from the beginning.
What does TAP mean in this context? So,
I mean, it's just one way to write a plug-in, I guess. So that you can put it on as a tap, and then you can add or remove tap from the instance that you bring up. So it's similar to Protégé plugins.
Okay.
So
basically, plugins.
So, yeah, it show up as tabs. I mean, like at the top of the menu.
Yeah. Okay.
However,
I thought that tabs are a way of presenting things like tabs in Firefox or whatever. But
yeah, it's okay. A way of presenting as well as a way to add plugins. And then they, of course, from the very beginning, they were doing it on a REST surface oriented RESTful API. They were trying to do everything on REST. So Ken could update you on what else we are planning. I think Ken and Todd sort of drives the architecture and API effort. He wants to do OR on both SOAP and REST, for one. And, of course, there was some legacy issues with with BioPortal as well, because it inherited a lot of the Protégé stuff, so that they didn't have to start from scratch. So there's a lot of Protégé stuff in there, which I guess they are slowly trying to move out of.
Sorry, is in where now?
In the code, in the BioPortal code.
In the BioPortal code, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the back end was mostly from Protégé, and mm-hmm. and hence, I mean, it originally only supported like R and RDF and OPO and I guess LexGrid the communication protocols and so on. But I believe, I mean, that their effort is sincere in trying to get external contributions. They have some people doing that. I mean, besides the usual people we know, like MMI, Oak Ridge National Lab, and even for a while, you did work with Alex Garcia when he was in Bremen, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, Alex Garcia.
Yeah, I know personally, but yeah.
Yeah, they did this Orate thing. For a while. Besides that, I mean, there are other people, but mostly doing things using the REST services, like Johns Hopkins. People were doing certain things, and we have their presentations on archive too.
Okay, So basically, this concerning this architecture diagram, so these eight components there should be independent software units, and they should communicate via REST or SOAP. Is this the intention, or is this more the internal structure of some software?
I'll let Ken answer you on that.
Yeah, the intention was that it be web service components to make it much easier to to plug in new components. The current or the BioPortal architecture, they do have REST, but it's monolithic. You know, the whole core is one REST service.
Yeah. Okay.
they don't have individual REST services for the other functions that are in their architecture. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I did some work on developing formally specifying the REST services. But the difficulty is that we don't have, you know, funding to develop it on our own, so we're trying to use BioPortal. And, you know, it's not really feasible to be doing a wholesale rewrite of,
yeah,
of their software.
So this API in Vistal Express, is this the specification you mentioned, or? So I have seen this on the conference call page for today. There is here is the API Express and WSDL.
Yes, I did that in Wistl.
Yeah.
I also looked at what the APIs would look like and other components, but it was all really speculative because we didn't have any components to implement, and there was no place you could put that into the existing architecture either. So all I have is just a kind of classic, you know, a Wistl with all the different parts of the API classified, in the hopes that, you know, we could try working with that API, perhaps making small changes to it that would be useful for the OOR.
And this API has been inspired by BioPortal, because BioPortal code should be reused, or is it mainly inspired by the architecture diagram?
Yeah, it's definitely from BioPortal, not the architecture diagram.
Yeah, okay.
For example, with the there are a lot of issues with things like how you name a, you know, what's the identifier for an ontology. BioPortal just uses the internally generated database ID for the ontology and the version, whereas it would make more sense to use a full URI.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So that's one example of the kind of differences that OOR would have. Another one was that, and they are moving gradually in this direction in BioPortal, instead of having a number of different methods for queries to the ontologies and to the metadata, it should be just a single Sparkle endpoint. So it would just basically be one method. Put in your Sparkle query and get your results out. Instead, you know, they have a whole variety. I don't know if you look at the API, they have a large variety of different queries, each with its own method, which is closely, you know, connected to the GUI. So I mean, you know, each of the different user interface features, you know, and presentations has a corresponding web service interface. So it's like they develop these two together, which isn't surprising because they are using the MVC architecture and Ruby on Rails.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were using a more component-based approach, then you would develop each of these independently.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the idea, of course, is that the web services should stand on their own. They shouldn't be dependent on a particular interface.
Mm-hmm.
You know, GUI.
Yeah.
A lot of things like that I can, you know, point out in the way they did it, which is not to suggest that their, you know, BioPortal isn't a great system. It is. They have a lot of really nice features in there. They work very hard, and it's great for the people that are using it. But, you know, as we move toward, you know, the more general, you know, environment of who we are, then you know, it would be nice if we could somehow alter their code.
Yeah.
With our needs better. They have a visualization. They have some sort of ontology visualization.
Yeah, that's very fancy with these graphs there, and so you have the protege-like trees of concepts, but you also have this flesh animation there with the graphs and so on, fancy stuff, yeah.
Yeah, problem is when I've gone to the... I've gone to the sandbox and click on visualization. Oh, there it is. It does work. I've had some difficulty getting it to work, but it does work.
So one question that I have is in the API there are a lot of things based on concepts and on properties and so on. So one problem that we encountered when building this OntoHub prototype, which will be presented next week, is that for example, in common logic, you just have names and sequence markers, and it's not entirely obvious what a concept or a property would be, because you could use the same name as both a concept and a property, or even a ternary predicate, and so in a sense of maybe some are related. You might have some common logic theories that have some concept structure, but in general, if you want to find this out, that requires already theorem proving.
Yeah, I mean, it's the API is really very oriented toward a particular way of doing ontologies, right? So it kind of hard codes in the notions of concept and property, which really are not that meaningful in something like common logic or some other logical system. Of course, in such a system, how would you do visualization? If you don't have a concept notion, you don't have properties.
Yeah,
how would you be visualizing?
Yeah, so basically, either we have a more general notion. So actually, that's basically next week's presentation. In OntoHub, we have a general notion of entity, and entities in all our concepts and or classes and object properties, say, and in common logic, you have names and sequence markers. And of course, for names and sequence markers, there is this visualization techniques than for classes and properties. Another option might be to actually extract some concepts and properties from the common logic theory, but that's kind of not straightforward how to do this. But you could, for example, if you look at the common logic translation of an OWL theory, you would know how to recognize the concept and the object properties. And you could do perhaps something similar with the general common logic theory. But then you have RDF. Yeah, okay. RDF it might be easier, but you have, I think we want also to have UML class diagrams. There you might also have concepts. So you have completely different kinds of logic. And for some you world could easily identify what are the concepts, and for others, not so easily. And maybe for each logic, we need some kind of mechanism or some kind of mapping how to extract concepts and properties in order to visualize them.
Okay, I noticed a whole bunch of people on the call already, so including Todd and Mike as well. So maybe you might want to get back to the meeting.
Todd?
Mm-hmm. Hello? Peter, I think the discussion that Till was engaged in was very useful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it suggests more things that we hadn't thought about.
Great. This meeting is yours and Ken's, so do whatever you want to do. I just want to...
I think we did think about the fact that, you know, we wanted to have OR be general enough to handle a wide variety of ontology languages, ranging from, you know, really simple folksonomy type languages all the way up to logical languages.
Right. But we said, I think we also had the presumption that we would have some notion of classes and properties and relations floating around. But now, from what Till is telling us, it seems that we'd have to have a requirement on the module creator that they can provide some ability to represent their language in a fashion that's not completely dissimilar to the notion of concepts and relations, or unary relations, binary and ternary relations, whatever.
Right. It would be nice to have some kind of flexibility with, say, visualizations, but I'm not sure how easy it would be to do that.
Right. But that still requires... I'm sorry.
Other than just writing your own, which would seem to be quite a huge task for someone who is trying to just install OOR for their particular community.
Right. But again, one of the benefits we would provide with OOR is some sort of common interface to find things if nothing else, just find things.
Yeah, well, I think we can certainly make, we have made the assumption that the metadata will be in the usual, you know, RDF and OWL format.
Right.
I mean, the language that you're using happens to be Common Logic doesn't mean that the metadata for it would also be in Common Logic.
Right. But what about the visualization aspect?
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I mean, I'm looking at the visualization right now for one of the ontologies, and they do have a technique there called widgets.
Well, no, Ken.
Which may be a way of doing some kind of customization, but I'm not sure.
Well, go back a step or two. We recognize we can have a common representation of the metadata.
Yeah.
But do we also have a requirement that we need a common mechanism for visualization, or a common representation that can be used for this visualization capability? Or do we dispense with that and not support such a notion?
I think the visualization is certainly important. I mean, that's one of the reasons why you'd use a tool like this rather than just use Subversion.
Okay. Then, I mean, I agree with you. Then do we have to levy some requirements as to what the visualization is or how it needs to present its data? I.e., you know, everyone's familiar with hierarchy of or taxonomy of class or concept structure and then the relations or whatever? Or can we loosen that up to something more general, whatever that might be?
I'm kind of...
I don't know. Well, chill.
I mean, does it actually make sense to have some kind of, customization technique whereby something like a common logic ontology could be visualized?
Well, that would be up to the developers of the module if they have some notion of what they have to conform to regarding the visualization.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, I mean, this is it. If you go to the sandbox, they actually have something like that.
Like what now?
Okay, if you go to the sandbox, it's OOR-03.CIM3.net.
OOR-03?
Yeah.
Just do sandbox.oor.net.
Yeah, that's it.
It's properly mapped now.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll get it. And if you click on Browse Ontologies, all.
Right.
And pick your favorite ontology. Which one would you like?
Oh, how about use case description?
Use case description, you click on that. Okay, and then when it comes up, you'll see versions.
I'm not seeing anything. Hold on. Visibility public?
I mean, it has a lot here. It has metrics. See, look at the metrics.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So is everybody looking at this? I mean, you see metrics, for example. Look at number of classes, number of individuals, number of properties, maximum depth.
Right.
I mean, so that certainly mean anything for common logic.
It may not, correct. But that's a textual description, and I that's not an issue. I don't think that's a problem. Because
right, but then,
yeah.
So then click on version 1.0.
Okay, where is it? Oh, there we go.
And then you'll see there's a visualization tab.
Right.
Click on visualization.
And show network neighborhood. Well, I'm just seeing one thing showing up, condition. But
yeah, but you can click on other ones like flow.
Oh, there it is. Sorry.
And that's flow is a little more interesting because it has subclasses.
Oh, there we go. Right, but again, there's some assumptions behind the fact that you can represent these things in this fashion.
Yeah, but then if you click on the terms.
Term mapping?
It's not a tab, it's a pull-down menu.
Got it.
At the bottom is widgets.
And what does a widget mean in this case?
I don't know. I'm not even sure what this is.
Okay, fair.
It has a section on tree hierarchy, on graph visualization.
Get code.
I'm not sure. Is this giving us the ability to have visualization, customize the visualization?
Graph visualization, get code. I don't know. I didn't know this.
I clicked on get code, and something comes up that is very difficult to understand, to say the least. Copy the code below and paste it to your HTML page.
And what's the intent of this? It doesn't say, does it?
I'm not sure. I guess maybe it's not for
visualization.
It looks like what it's giving you is the it's giving you the REST call for visualizing one term in the ontology, which in this case happens to be melanoma.
Okay.
And definitely it's got a link to BioPortal, not to Sandbox.
Well, I guess a question for Till then is, what work has been done in visualizing common logic representations? Maybe we need to look at some of those to understand what we're missing or what needs to be specified.
Still there, Till?
I muted you, Till, so you need to star 7 to unmute. But Todd, with reference to your question, is this in general, or are you asking Till of what he is doing?
In general. I'm not familiar with the area. It sounds like Till is more familiar, so perhaps he can give us some clue as to where to look.
So I have not worked on visualizing common logic. I have some general ideas, but I just stumbled across the problem that some parts of BioPortal cannot so easily be generalized. And one would need, in a sense, to abstract the interfaces. And maybe say we have visualization methods for classes and properties, and if a specific language can provide classes and properties, then we can use those visualization techniques, and there might be other visualization techniques. For example, for common logic, you could just draw the graph where you have all the, but you could try to find out which names are used in which way, say as predicates or as operation symbols, and then you could display the arity somehow and try to do this visually. This would also be useful, I think.
Well, it may be the case that the common logic module has to provide its own visualization capabilities. However, the question still in my mind is whether the visualization is sufficiently similar to what people are familiar with OWL or RDF.
It depends. So if you somehow manage to extract classes and properties from common logic, then yes. If you just visualize the names and sequence markers, then certainly no.
Well, maybe it's the case then you need multiple types of visualizations.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good idea, yeah.
Rather than trying to jam everything together, but again, if common logic is supposed to provide a capability to view ontologies in a somewhat common format, at least for the purposes of discovery, then we'd probably have to ask that anyone who's developing a language module meet some of these commonality requirements to the best they can. And then if there's additional capabilities that are required because of the distinctness of the language, then they have to, you know, provide those also, and then people will just have to get used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
While we talking about this, I mean, about first order logic tools. Todd, are you, or Till probably is, are you familiar with the Sumo Sigma knowledge engineering environment?
I'm not.
Okay, I'll paste a link. It's right on the Ontolog homepage.
So I have taken a short look at it, yeah?
Yeah, so if you click on, if you go to that link and click on the second link, the one that starts with sigma and ends in KB equals sumo and language equals EN, English.
Right.
So click on that. And you can type in, I don't know, say time point at the KB term. So it type, I typed all lowercase time point, it wasn't, but it showed me this one that's time point in upper capital case. If you click onto that one, that will show the ontology.
And Peter?
Yes.
I see all these terms coming up here, and how do I interpret this?
Like you interpret other axioms, I guess. On the left, that's the axioms. In first of all, the logic on the right, it actually renders a sort of near natural language, sort of provides a near natural language rendition of what it is saying.
Okay.
So on the left it says instance, negative infinity time point, and it says negative infinity is an instance of time point. Da, 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 da.
How did you get that?
What do you mean?
I put in time point and show, and I didn't get that.
What did you put? Where did you put time point?
KV term.
Right. You click show.
Yeah.
So then you have time point and a whole bunch of things.
I get
below.
Time point, and I get timber.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And then the time point I put in is in red, which means it doesn't have the term time point, but three things above it, where it says time point in upper camel case.
Oh, that one. Okay, that's true.
Then I click on that one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. So this could be used as kind of visualization for common logic as well.
But they actually have a graphic visualization. I mean, if you go back to that original link in this KSMSA ontology browser by Mikhail Shevchenko, but it's broken now. I don't know why. It used to work. And I think it's still maintained.
So, Peter,
yes.
I still have a stupid question as to what is the purpose of this knowledge engineering environment?
It supports display, hosting. I mean, if you remember, Adam Peace actually did offer this as a possible first order logic back end for OOR.
Right.
It's still possible. At least he can build a back end if he applies the right federation constructs and federate with us. We have some difference in licensing. I think he licenses the work under GPL.
So is he just searching through all the ontologies he has registered for these terms?
I mean, are you familiar with Sumo?
Yeah, I looked at it.
No, Sumo is supposedly what they call the suggested
upper merged
ontology. They merged a lot of things like, I mean, the the time ontology, I mean, rheology, and I mean, merge a lot of the pre-existing first order logic ontology into this huge thing. There's an upper, and then there's a mid-level, and then I think there's some domain ontologies that have been developed over the years. It's probably the largest first order, Till probably knows, it's just the largest sort of, in terms of first order, apart from psych. Apart from psych, this is probably the largest collection of first order theories in ontology. And they do a lot of things with it. I mean, I guess the world is divided between, I mean, the world of first order logic users, ontology users, are divided between psych and sumo and Dolce, if we discount BFO.
Don't forget UFO.
No, BFO. I mean, very
strange. I know, but there's also now UFO.
Yes, I'm not very familiar with UFO.
But nobody is.
That's the reason to go to the summer school this summer, Peter.
All right, okay.
Let's
learn about it. This KSMSA provides some visualization, but again, it's just some hierarchies. But the knowledge engineering environment, besides displaying all these, translating it into some sort of near English-like explanation, it also hosts the Vampire Reasoner. So you can reason over these things with Vampire.
Okay. Well, I have to say the UI is pretty bad. It requires a lot of a priori knowledge of what you're doing.
But depends on who the audience is. I mean, the audience is someone who knows ontology, first order logic ontology.
Yeah, right? But Peter, any UI has to be somewhat self-explanatory without huge amounts of
a priori knowledge.
Oops. A few lines above that, there's a menu. There's a SUOKIF manual and a Sigma user manual. You might go into those first.
Yeah, but one of the benefits of the BioPortal UI is that it's fairly simple-minded. Now, I realize that may not be a strong selling point, but I think it is. If you want people to use something, you have to make it so difficult that you're going to turn them away. Unless they're really desperate. And UI development is just, I think, the most difficult thing going.
Well, yeah, it definitely seems like they have, you know, they are doing something here. It's interesting. I mean, that what they're doing is showing you the occurrences of this term in the various axioms and the rules.
Yeah.
So.
What if I don't want to see the axioms?
Then you have to see the ontology. I mean, because that's what the ontology is made up of.
I mean, it's a visualization, like for Powell, is showing you the occurrences. He's giving a visual, you know, image of axioms such as subclass axioms and domain axioms, things like that.
Well, I mean, I can figure this UI out eventually, and I don't disagree that it has some value in terms of trying to understand an ontology and theory more explicitly. But as a first step in terms of discovery, I wouldn't put this up. You know,
I have to agree with you about that. It's
once you've got some idea of you've narrowed down the field of your search, you then may want to do more refined and in-depth analysis of what's there. And at that point, where you start showing the axioms and any presumptions or assumptions implicit would become a very useful feature.
Yeah, that's also something Michael Griniger is saying. I mean, they are not planning to work on the UI, and hopefully they provide the back end in a way that would be accessible through the same BioPortal front end.
And see, Michael's smart. He's avoiding the hard work.
Yes and no. I mean, that's not his core competency. I mean, he's an ontologist. He's not a UI developer. And he's not even a developer per se. I mean, the effort is to make the ontology available to people and machines.
Yes. Well, everyone, unfortunately, I have to go. As I wrote to you and Ken, Peter, I forgot about this meeting today, and I have to go to another facility. So I'm going to have to drop off. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you for being with us and asking all the right questions.
Wish I had some answers. Bye.
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 Mike, you've been awfully quiet.
I've just been lurking. I joined a couple minutes late.
I figured out what those widgets are in the sandbox. What they're supposed to be letting you do is put something into your own HTML page that will bring up this visualization without going through, you know, this repository software. In other words, you know, without opening it up on your browser and, you know, navigating to it. Instead, you could just put a link on your own page. And when you click on the link, you'll get, or it maybe not even clicking on the link, when you bring up the page, you'll see this visualization on the page. The only problem is that when I try it with the use case description ontology, it's giving me links to a completely different ontology. So there's some problem with the customization.
Okay, I will.
It's supposed to be in the use case description ontology. It's not supposed to be giving me something completely different.
So I'll have to ask everyone to help sort of document the what has transpired in the session so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's conceivable that this is code that they haven't actually finished because it looks like they've hard coded these widgets. So maybe they don't actually offer this yet. On the other hand, when I go to their site, it claims that it's available.
Maybe you can ask them.
Yeah, it's curious what's going
on. If it's documented, it's better than it's undocumented.
It's fully documented with examples and everything. It's just that when I try to use it on our sandbox, it doesn't work.
You remember they did say something about visualization because they are totally getting out of the jambalaya thing and and sort of recoding everything. So maybe,
yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, so maybe that is it. I mean, whatever is documented was from the last, his past life.
That could be.
And whatever you're seeing now is sort of in development, the sort of recoding.
Yeah, that could be. Could very well be. But I think it's still conceivable that you could have a way of doing visualization of other kinds of ontology, such as common logic. All you need to do basically is annotate annotate the entities to indicate whether your intention is that they be visualized as a class or as a property and how it's to be visualized. Does that make sense still?
You have to unmute till star 7. Oh, I just unmuted you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Ah, okay. I think there are many ontologies, like if you look at Colore, which don't have these annotations, of course, at some fine point, Michael might want to annotate all this, but I think it would also be good to have some kind of automatic inference of these annotations, that you at least have a starting point, because it might be a lot of work to annotate everything.
Yeah, I'm assuming there would be some kind of automated way of doing it, but the OOR wouldn't necessarily support such a. Well, maybe it could even, but the key thing is that from the point of view of the visualization software, as long as it has a way of finding out where the concepts and the relationships are, it can then visualize it.
Yeah, and I think we should design some way of automatically extracting concepts and properties from common logic theories and then experiment with that, whether this makes any sense in practice.
Yeah, why don't we post that as a problem? See if somebody has some solution to it. I mean, it's a general, I mean, for any other, ontology language, you'd have a similar sort of problem. They don't necessarily have a notion of concept and relationship.
Yeah, in RDF, for example, you have binary roles, obviously, but yeah, with concept, it's, for example, less clear.
Well, RDF does have a notion of class, or at least RDFS. But yeah, if you just do RDF without classes, yes, you're right, there's no notion of this, but I mean, you could just basically say that your instances are your classes, and then your triples are your relationships. And then you can visualize that.
Yeah, and then you have richer RDF things like RDFS. I think that you even have sub-property. I'm not sure. Or is this in...
Yeah, they do have sub-property.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you could visualize an RDF, but it's just an RDF graph.
Yeah.
And people do a lot. and that kind of visualization would be quite effective.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think you could actually have a general visualization capability as long as for each language you either have an automated way of extracting the concepts and the relationships, or you have an explicit annotation. And then you just visualize the result of that annotation or extraction.
Yeah, or you have a completely different visualization technique, so there should be a plug-in mechanism where you can either map your language to an existing visualization technique or provide a completely new one.
Obviously, mapping to an existing one is much, much easier, but I mean, we should have a plug-in capability to allow one to put in a different visualization. I don't think I don't know if the architecture currently supports that, but it might. Looks like another use case.
Okay, sorry, I have to leave as well now.
I think we're getting up to the end of the period, end of the hour now. Is there anyone else who wishes to bring up any issues?
The only request I have is for maybe you might document what has transpired either onto the chat or somewhere onto the session page.
Let me put something in the chat right now.
But we could end the meeting and you sort of continue to make that post.
Yeah, I think I'll be making the post, and then we should adjourn unless someone else has some particular business they wish to bring up.
So, question for Till, you're good for next Tuesday, same time?
Sorry, could you repeat that question?
So your next Tuesday session would be your presentation?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So it's same time for us, but a different hour for you?
Yeah, it's 1 hour earlier for me, which makes it much easier.
Okay, all right, that sounds good. We'll talk to you next week then.
Okay.
So if you have something, in abstract or slides and things, could you send them to me maybe one day early if possible?
Yeah, surely.
Yeah, maybe abstract even earlier. Then I can set up the session page first and then slides maybe a day early.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.